your guests to take off their shoes at your house. 651-641-1071. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show on MyTalk 1071. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Trainer.
Hey.
Is it rude to ask your guests to take their shoes off at your home?
Why are we asking?
Because Martha Stewart has the answer to the question.
Okay, great. What does Martha have to say about the matter?
Martha actually says if your home has a no shoes policy, and you probably have that policy for a number of reasons, maybe it's cleaner floors or perhaps it's better health. I don't understand that, but whatever. She said it's totally fine to ask people to take off their shoes. Okay. And there are many ways that you can do that.
Okay, there's a preferred method.
Of course, because Martha Stewart has all the answers. But what I'm more curious about, and I'll tell you what her method is, but sure. I'm curious what other people think. 651-641-1071. Is it rude to tell people to take their shoes off at your home? We've got Bonnie on the line. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Colleen and Bradley.
Hello.
I think it is rude because my shoes are part of my outfit. Like, if it's a party, you know, it's part of my outfit. If you just drop it off and, you know, buy it at somebody's house, then I think it's probably okay. But you invited people into your house for a party. Mm. Part of my outfit. I want to wear my shoes.
Right?
All right.
Okay, Bonnie, thank you for your call. And actually, Martha Stewart even knows that. She says that that is one reason why people may be anxious about parting with their shoes, because that's, especially if you're having a party, that's part of the choice that they made when they put on their outfit, that shoes go with that. But she says one of the ways that you can kind of get around that is to let people know.
Oh, for sure.
Before they come.
Give them a heads up.
Hey, FYI, we're a shoe-free home. And, I will cop to the fact that I like to know ahead of time, because that also then informs what kind of undershoe wear I'm wearing.
Yeah, you don't want holy socks.
Yeah, or like the wrong kind of socks. Or sometimes like I'm wearing a boot and the socks don't really matter when the boot is on. But when the boot is off,
yeah,
I don't want them to see that my socks have profanity on them, maybe.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
You have profanity socks?
I do. I think I have a couple pair.
Okay.
Ones with bad words. Naughties on them.
Naughty socks.
651-641-1071. Is it rude to ask people to take their shoes off at your home? We did get an email from Taylor who said, no, it's rude to insist on keeping them on. My house, my rules.
Okay. Well, that doesn't sound like, you know, I don't know. I feel like you just have to be clear from the get-go, right? Like, in giving people as much of a heads up, if there is something important to you that maybe not everyone would expect, then just know that. Because I would say on the whole, it's kind of catch-as-catch-can in this country. Some people are very adamant about taking your shoes off. Some people are not at all concerned about taking your shoes off. And because of that, you kind of have to, like, do the legwork, if you will, or the footwork, because you kind of don't know what you're walking into. You go to a place like Japan and you know,
right,
you must take your shoes off because that's just what's culturally appropriate.
Right.
In our country, I feel like there's a lot of different interpretations.
There are, everybody does it a little bit different. And I know this happens, you know, if you have a person who's coming to maybe, like, for example, we're having some problems with our dryer, and my husband has had to call the service plus. And you know, when they show up, they are either going to, they always do this. They will either take off their shoes or they will put those little shower caps, booties over their shoes. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, so that way, that's sort of the workaround. But they're always respectful of the fact that you may not want their dirty outside shoes tromping through your house.
Yeah.
Right. And even if I say, oh, don't worry about that, they'll still do it because that's their policy. Mm-hmm. But we are not good about communicating always with people about whether they're coming into a shoes it on or
what
shoes
is it?
Off house.
Shoes on or off.
At my house, I think I'm like, whatever makes you comfortable.
Yeah.
But if it's raining outside, I might like just say, oh, can you take your shoes off? But even that, I sort of feel like people self-regulate a little bit with their, and I want them to be comfortable.
For sure.
So I think that's, we don't really have a big, I mean, I am like a piggy toes all times. I would rather not have shoes on at all times.
Yeah.
I want to be barefoot at all times. But I don't expect that everybody else is comfortable that way.
No, of course not.
Let's go to the phones. Kelsey's on the line. Hi, Kelsey. Kelsey, is it rude to ask people to take their shoes off at your home?
No. We live in Minnesota. It's muddy and snowy and slushy and rainy, and I think it's gross to leave them on in the house. I mean, we have carpet and kids that crawl around on the carpet, and I don't want to have to clean my carpets every week because people can't take their shoes off. But
yeah.
I do have family who wear, like, orthopedic shoes, and they need them for support, and so they just bring, like, indoor shoes when they come over.
That's yeah. Nice.
And so we're fine with that because they weren't walking through the snow to get to our house.
Yeah.
In those shoes.
Yeah, thank you, Kelsey.
That's good to know.
I will say that is a thing that, like, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law do. They bring inside shoes, and they just do, and that's what makes them comfortable, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I do, like I said, I think people can kind of self-regulate. Like, you know, if you've walked in from a muddy spot and you will kick your shoes off or, you know, wipe them really well.
Yeah, whatever. I would hope that most grown adults would contemplate, you know, muddy feet before they go tromping through somebody's
exactly,
house.
Exactly, exactly. I will say, though, you can tell when we have a slew of teenagers at our house because you can barely open the door. It's just shoes everywhere.
Shoes.
We've got Sasha on the line. Hi, Sasha.
Hi, Sasha.
Sasha, is it rude to ask people to take their shoes off in your home?
I don't think so. I think if it's like a smaller, intimate gathering, it's the given, right? But if you're having like a big backyard barbecue and people are coming in and out, I just put the mat outside.
Yeah.
And most people like just pick up on the fact that there's this huge like shoe mat outside.
Mm. To like clean off their feet before you go inside is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like communicate the expectation ahead of time. Then you'll have no issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for your call, Christine. And actually, that's essentially what I almost said Madonna. Martha Stewart says, I don't know what Madonna says about this. We didn't ask her.
She's probably got opinions.
Martha Stewart. And one of the things Martha Stewart suggests and is having a shoe changing station. So actually setting up a place where it's obvious this is the place where you take your shoes off.
Oh, yeah, that
and,
makes sense.
And if you're able to offer alternative indoor footwear, all the better, right? Yeah. Like if you've got some extra slippers lying around.
I will say the only time we've thought about it is like if you're having a party, we kind of just like you pull up the rugs or make sure that there's nothing you're worried about getting, you know, damaged.
Mm-hmm.
But we have like figured out we're going to need to say something about heels because we had a party once and we had like tons of scratches on the wood floors from the heels, and it wasn't intentional. It was just like, oh, we didn't even notice.
Right.
So
right. And you like probably don't think a lot in your own home about wearing heels
at
home.
Not anymore.
Yeah, true.
It's been a while.
True.
So
Christine is on the line. We'll let Christine have the final word. Hi, Christine. Christine, do you think it's rude to tell people to take their shoes off at your house?
It is not rude at all. I don't even know why this is a debate because it seems so, like, just normal to take your shoes off in a home. Like, if you have kids, you're just bringing in gross things. Like, everyone who goes to a house should expect you're going to have to take your shoes off.
Christine, thank you for your
Thanks,
call.
Christine.
And I will say, I just realized when she said that I've never had somebody have to ask me to take my shoes off. I always ask. So, like, when I go to somebody else's house, I will say, do you want me to take my shoes off so that they don't have to feel awkward if that's what they want me to do
no,
and I'm not
habit.
Making any assumptions.
That's a really good habit.
Because there may be some people who do want you to keep your shoes on. They don't want your stinky toes out in their house.
Yeah, I don't.
Right?
Yeah, I don't want your stinky feet in my house.
That's what I'm trying to say. All right, well, if you're curious of other, you know, words of advice about wearing.
You said there were several ways that she suggests. So you said create a space.
Create a space to take the shoes on or off and off. She said give advanced warning.
Oh,
she
yeah.
does say consider what kind of a gathering you're having.
Hmm.
If it's a large party and it's a formal type of event, then she says, people are going to, their shoes are going to be part of their outfit.
Yeah.
So maybe consider that and figure out what you need to do.
If it's like indoor, outdoor,
yeah.
maybe you're just going to have to like put something down on the floor.
Yeah. And she does say, give a suggestion. For example, if you do have a shoes free home, she said you can just lightly in the invitation say something simple like we have a no shoe policy here at our house. So when you come over, please bring your favorite slippers or your comfy socks.
Hmm.
right?
It's very, yeah, I like that.
But she said, and then, like I said, she said, consider the event, but then always be gracious. So if you do decide, like, it's like a, for example, like I said, if it's a muddy day outside, then I might have a shoe policy, a no shoe policy when I wouldn't necessarily, sure, if it's not, yeah, a muddy
you
day.
You don't want all that mud in your house.
She said, you know, just, you just kind of make it, just tell them we have to do something about that mud puddle out front. Let me give you a spot to put your shoes or something like that.
And then go put a towel over the mud puddle.
Yes. And so that they don't have to walk through it on their way
like
out.
Olden times.
When we return on the Colleen and Bradley show, ooh, I just got a text that our food is here.
Yay!
It's Friday, which means it's
date day.
After this on My Talk 107.1. Oh, it is Friday on the Colleen and Bradley show, My Talk 107.1. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Trainer.
Hey.
And what do we do on Friday, you guys?
Cheat!
Dirty, rotten cheater!
Cheat day taste test.
Stick this in your mouth.
What is for cheat day today, Colleen?
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out when it was we talked about this. Ah, yes, it was Tuesday.
I was going to say, it feels like maybe a Tuesday.
It was Tuesday when we learned that Arby's was doing something they had never done before.
Never, ever.
Do you remember what it was, you guys?
Yes, it's a burger!
They put a burger on their menu.
But not just any burger. A big, big, juicy burger.
It's true. Now, they did not bring back the potato cake, but they brought us a burger, and that burger is called the Wagyu Steakhouse Burger. It is a limited time offering between this past Monday,
yeah,
and July 31st. Oh,
okay, so you got some time.
You got some time to try this, yeah, but we thought we'd do it early,
yeah,
so that you'd know whether or not it's something it. You want to do.
We do the hard work for you guys.
We really do. You are welcome. You are welcome. Okay, so here's what we know about this burger. Do you want to show a little cross-section of it?
Well, it is a cross-section.
Yes, I did give you the cross-section. It is the highest quality burger the market has seen yet. Says
the highest quality burger.
Says Arby's. This is a blend of Wagyu beef and ground beef. Wagyu, of course, refers to a specific breed of cattle that is known for its rich flavor and buttery tenderness. This version weighs in at 6.4 ounces, and it's a 52% blend of American Wagyu and 48% ground beef that is cooked sous vide style.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so you're going to get
boiled.
Yeah, like a kind of, it's in a, I mean, they don't just throw it right in the water, but yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if sous vide may be new, a new concept to some people, but yes, it's what that is it's a water bath that keeps it at the right.
Like in an envelope, or not doneness. An envelope, but what do you call it?
Like a sealed bag. Yeah. Vacuum sealed. Any whoozy whatsy, they're going all in on this thing, and so are we.
What else is on this thing?
Well, what I'm seeing is, and I think they do refer to the special burger sauce on the toasted brioche bun, but there's also American cheese, which I stick a pin in that for me.
Okay.
Shredded lettuce, tomato, pickles, red onion.
To all the penny special sauce.
I have a question for you, Colleen.
I might have an answer for you, Holly.
Well, you cut up the burger.
I did.
So you experienced the burger in its fullness.
Yes.
And were you impressed by its size?
Oh, boy, was I ever.
It's very hefty. I mean, yes. Even my like little tiny third is like, it's like a doorstop.
Well, you do actually have the most substantial portion, Bradley. Holly and I got the ends, but you do have like the bulk of the burger in there. It's heavy. Yes, I was impressed by its size. Holly, it was actually the first thing I noticed about it when I first opened the package. I was like, wow, that's a big one.
That's a big one.
And it is. And so, and actually, Holly, I think I did give you the smallest one because I did get a good honk of beef in mine.
That is quite all right.
So, who wants to go in first? I will complain about the American cheese while you guys try it.
Okay, sure.
All right, let's
It's do not
it.
A complaint. Like, I love me some American cheese. I'm just saying, if you're going, you know, wolves to the wolves with the Wagyu beef and the brioche bun and the special burger sauce, and you're going all steakhouse on us, I don't know why there's other cheeses, I'm just saying. And American cheese is pretty kind of a, you know, a staple.
Yeah.
So
you're saying you want something fancier.
Give me a funky cheese. Truly. Okay. So while I eat it, I see faces. I see what I think in some areas as pleasure.
Yeah, no, it's good. Like, it's definitely a tasty burger. It's super juicy. The sauce is like a little, I got a little too much sauce. This sauce is kind of overpowering.
Yeah, it's a little wet.
I just dripped on the keyboard. Don't tell anyone.
Okay, yeah, no, yeah, it's,
again, it's a little wet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little too much sauce for my liking, but I didn't even taste the cheese. Oh, I almost dropped it. I didn't even taste the cheese because the burger is just so big.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. The bun is good.
It is. I mean, I enjoy it. It's not kind of, I mean.
Pickle's good. I like pickle.
Listen.
It's a good fast food burger.
That's what I was going to say. For a fast food burger, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was I expecting more? Maybe.
Like, what would you have wanted?
It's the wetness is the thing that's getting to me.
The wetness.
Yeah, the wetness of the burger is a little off-putting for me. Because it's
very saucy.
Yeah, it's
like, I would just maybe ask for, like, no sauce.
That would be a way to get around it. I will say there's a bacon version, too.
Ooh, I would definitely try that.
Yeah, so I just got us the classic, but...
Yeah. No, it's
honestly,
a very good...
it kind of reminds me of Wendy's, but, like, a thicker patty.
Yeah, I could see that. The sauce tastes very McDonald's-y to me.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. How about that? Okay, around the room. Bradley.
I'd give it a nice 4 out of 5.
Holly, how many cobras?
3.
3 out of 5. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5 cobras. So, yeah, try it. It's worth it. And when we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we have celebrities behaving badly. We call them
D-bag.
After this on My Talk 107.1. Okay, the more I got into that burger, the better it was. Once you get around the wetness and the shredded lettuce, and also thank you to our friend Panda because she went and got her own.
Ooh.
And cheated along with us on the
yes.
Colleen and Bradley show.
That
My Talk 107.1. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Trainer.
It's hard pressed though when I go to Arby's to not get, you know, like a big beef Montana.
Oof, beef and cheddar platter 100% of the time. But
yummy.
You know what? Not as much of a draw anymore because they don't have potato cakes. That's not why we're here. We're here to talk about celebrities. I am behaving badly. We call them
D-bag.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Thomas Markle and friends.
Oh.
Because he's hosting a show with a photographer who targets Meghan and her mom.
Oof.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, so I was over.
That's nasty.
I know. I was over at the Newsweek, and Thomas Markle apparently is now hosting a show on the YouTube channel with a press photographer who has checked out the house next door to Meghan Markle's mother so that he could get photos.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's also taken photos of Meghan. And according to this Newsweek story, Larson visited the house next door to Meghan's mother, Doria, when it was up for sale, touring the backyard where he suggested he could hear children playing.
Okay.
Of course, the children being, you know, Harry and Meghan's mm-hmm. children, which is a little creepy.
That is more than a little creepy.
Yeah.
That's way creepy.
Larson told Newsweek, I didn't intend to suggest that those were the Sussex children. I was just joking.
Oof.
Yeah, so I just don't know, Thomas Markle, what's up, but I feel like it's becoming, you know, he has been this person, and if you listen to, or read rather, because I listened to the book, The Palace Papers by Tina Brown, she, you know, interviewed Thomas Markle, and he was very, he was a far more interesting person than I thought, I will say, a far more interesting person in the sense that I felt that he had a story to tell. That is interesting,
mm-hmm.
but his actions have really just belied a character that doesn't seem all that tasteful.
No.
What I mean by that is his actions have really gone, they don't help his case. You know, to talk about how he feels abandoned by his daughter is one thing, but then to take these actions where he is, you know, sort of poking.
Yeah.
At his daughter and saying things to the media. You know, he tried to play it off initially that he was a victim of like the press and the media sort of taking advantage of him because they wanted dirt on Meghan Markle. But it seems like he's done enough work on his own to make that belief in people's minds even clearer.
Yeah, when you have a toxic situation like they obviously do, you have choices in how you're going to, you know, move through time and space with that. And he really seems to like to water the weeds of just full on disdain, where she seems to be a little bit more removed from it, where she's just like, I'm not doing this.
And, you know, there was, again, early on, if you listen to his account to Tina Brown, he talks about how he really did get played by the media, but he was in a weird position. And, like, actually, if you listen to his backstory, he sounds like a pretty fascinating person. And his relationship with Doria and, you know, his relationship with Meghan was actually, you know, one that caused a lot of jealousy by her half-siblings. Mm-hmm. And it's because he had gone to great lengths to sort of provide opportunities for her acting, et cetera, at least, again, if you believe Tina Brown's account of this. But then that changed. And, you know, there's a whole reason why that changed. But his behavior since has just been, it's like, dude, you're not helping your case any. In fact, it's just making you look even pettier. And, you know, to then see headlines that you're teaming with a guy on YouTube who is like creepily, you know, targeting the your grandchildren.
That's gross.
Yeah.
That's really gross.
That's nasty.
Oof.
That's nasty.
Do you want to know who my D-bag is?
Yes.
It is the tabloids, but also kind of Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck.
The tabloids and kind of Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, because here's what happened the other day. You know, I like to use the Google News, and they do this thing where they give you a story. And then they'll be like, see full coverage of this.
Oh, sure.
Right? And usually it's something kind of important, like the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp trial. See full coverage of this. And then you click on that and you get all the articles about that, right?
Helpful.
It's super helpful, unless the headline is Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck kiss outside of Soho House. What?
We need detailed coverage on that.
Apparently I did.
Why?
I didn't. So I clicked on it. And the reason why they wanted to give me the detailed coverage is because there is so much coverage of it, because the two of them are standing outside Soho House sharing a, quote, passionate kiss. It's not any more passionate than any of their other photographed kisses. But why, Bradley Traynor, are so many tabloids writing about this?
Because they're lazy and they found some photos and nobody else has anything better to talk about, even though there's like 20 different things I could list.
But okay, go but ahead. Did they find photos or did...
Oh, I'm sure that a, you know, paparazzi walk opportunity was created by the two of them.
And can I tell you something?
Oh, yes.
I'd like to inform you, because I was very curious.
Uh-huh.
Her on the J-Lo newsletter...
Which Holly and I got duped into joining because that's where she gave all the details of the engagement.
I believe, if I am correct, and if I am wrong, I apologize, but I looked up the address for Jennifer Lopez's business concern.
Oh.
And it's in the same exact building as the Soho House in West Hollywood. So she literally walked down from her office...
To take photos.
Ben. That is the laziest.
Kissing.
Well, it worked.
I mean, it fully did.
Yeah.
But like in the middle of her busy day, she was like, hey, Ben, what are you up to? You want some attention? Why don't you come on over, visit me at work? I'll come out and smack one on you. We'll make sure we get a good shot and everybody will be talking about it tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say that we haven't really heard hide nor hair out of them, right? Like we haven't heard much out of this publicationship other than the occasional like them showing up in public, which is kind of like womp womp.
Yeah.
Because it's not giving us, you know, anything we didn't already know. We're not talking about when they're going to not have kids or what house they're not going to live in when they go buy it again.
Well, would it interest you to know that one reason may be because that documentary that Jennifer Lopez did about her halftime show.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's on Netflix, is forthcoming imminently, I believe, if not already released.
I was going to say, isn't it already out there? This is the one where she talks about not getting the Oscar.
I think so,
What's that called again?
Is it called? I do know that there is a scene where she's on the phone with him. Halftime. Is it available for our viewing pleasure?
It will be available on June 14th.
Okay, yeah. So it's coming up. So we're going to get little dribs and drabs of these two, you know, playing a little tongue wrestling.
Yeah, they're gonna show up because they've got something to push.
Exactly.
Is your point, I think.
Exactly. And so anyway, but to the four tabloids, and I only brought you four, and there were far more, who shared headlines such as Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck kiss as they meet up for lunch at Soho House. Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck flaunt PDA while meeting up at Soho House. Jennifer Lopez greets fiance Ben Affleck with a kiss. And here's Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck kissing in front of Soho House. That
Very
is
creative.
The assortment of headlines.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Guess what all the articles are about?
The same set of photos.
The two of them kissing.
Yeah.
And what she wore and what he wore. And that's all.
And I will say, and I'm just going to do some rudimentary checking here, but I bet you in each one of these, they mention her. Okay, well, this one doesn't, but one of them at least mentions her upcoming documentary.
Okay. So, well, you know, so
job well done.
They at least they did some of their homework. By the way, also, they do match again.
Oh, of course. That means that this was totally planned.
Yeah. Because if they weren't
she
matching
coordinated before they left the house.
Yeah, he would have shown up in saggy pants and dunkies. And also, can we talk about at least
his
one of the pictures? That's what I was going to say. One of these pictures is so awkward.
Because he's staring right into it. That almost looks like you caught him like in a blink.
Yeah, or like he's like, looking off to the side a little bit. It's really weird.
And then I love the guy behind who's just like, what?
Yeah.
They're kissing, what?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, Hollywood Life fully has like a series spread of photos from previous kissing moments.
Oh. Well, also, Just Jared has the whole series.
Well, they do. That's
a rapid click.
They, Just Jared, I will say, like, if you ever see a celebrity photo shoot and you want every photo that was taken, they clearly buy the whole package because every Just Jared photo or post will have all of the photos. So you can get like all the in-between faces. Oh. Like the ones that aren't ready for prime time.
Okay, so this is great because I'm clicking fast through them and it's almost like watching a stop animation.
I will say too, sometimes, and I don't know what you're looking at. I guess I could pull it up. But a lot of times there will be a page that you can click on and just see all the thumbnails. So you can just go, boop, doop, I
yeah.
want to look at this.
So
look at
I'm
that.
Just clicking right through. And what's funny about it is, obviously, the reason why everybody's sharing that one with him with his eyes open is because it's the only one where their lips are actually in contact. And then if you click, continue to click through, something happened like to his right because his attention turns toward it. So if I were her, I'd be like, you messed up.
Do it again.
Our makeout.
Do it again.
Yeah, that was not good enough. But anyway, there they are making out front of Soho House. Holly, thank you
she
for
looks
doing
great.
The due, oh my gosh, she's like a 10 at all times. Thank you for doing the due diligence and realizing that indeed also that is the building that houses her
office.
Yeah.
She's just a modern gal on the go.
When we return on the Colleen and Bradley show, remember that story I tried to tell you yesterday that I barely kind of didn't understand about Seth Green and the NFTs
and then the
phishing
NFTs
scheme and then the show with his NFTs and like the guy, somebody else had him and all that stuff. Well, I've got an update on that.
Okay, great.
So I'm going to try to re-explain it and then also tell you what the update is after this on My Talk 107.1. Thank you, Holly. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Trainer.
Hey.
So remember yesterday I told you that whole big, long story that we barely understood about Seth Green and his Bored Ape NFT and a bunch of other NFTs that he purchased. And he was using those NFTs, again, non-fungible tokens, in a sitcom or a comedy project that he was doing called, the White Horse. What was that called? The White Horse
Tavern
or something like that. White Horse Tavern. Yeah, that was it. Anyway, he had released the trailer of that thing at this VCon convention that was here.
Yeah, right here in River City.
And then we got word from him that those NFTs had been stolen by a phishing scam. Again,
you didn't know what any of that meant, but you tried your best to explain it.
I did.
A great job.
Well, I'm going to share with you some more stuff that is going to make it maybe make even less sense.
Okay, great.
But because somebody else was now in possession of his NFTs, that project, like he couldn't use those NFTs on the project because now they are belonging to somebody else.
Yes, it's hard to do a show when you can't control the creative content you were going to use.
Exactly. So now that show has had to be put on hold. Mm. And he's been trying to figure out, because he doesn't know who has them. All he knows is that
the
seeming entity that owns them is somebody that goes under the tag Darkwing 84.
Not Darkwing Duck.
Not Darkwing Duck. Well, guess what? BuzzFeed News did the real work, and they figured out that Darkwing Duck, not Darkwing, Darkwing 84 is actually an account that belongs to somebody else named Mr. Cheese.
So Darkwing is Mr. Cheese. Okay, and Mrs. Peacock in the lobby with a candlestick.
So Mr. Cheese, who also uses the Twitter handle Dr. Wordy, told BuzzFeed News that they buy
Mr.
NFTs.
Mr. Cheese is also Mr. Wordy?
Yeah. Are you following? Why is this so hard?
Because it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. He says that what they do is they buy NFTs using their Darkwing 84 account, then they transfer more valuable tokens to their secondary vault. The transactions between Ethereum wallets associated with the two accounts support this. What did I just say?
Well, what you said was cryptocurrency, NFTs, two things I'm not going to get involved with, despite the protestations of those who think it's a great idea right now. I don't understand it enough to do it, which means I don't. If it doesn't make sense, stay away.
Exactly.
Also, why you would put those assets, which you don't know enough about to control them, as a part of your next creative endeavor tells me maybe about your, choicing skills.
Right.
It just doesn't seem like if you didn't know enough to protect them before you made this proposal for a TV show.
Right. Then maybe you shouldn't have been dabbling in the first place.
Again, maybe everybody's like, no, you don't understand, blah, blah, blah. Well, you're entirely correct.
I don't understand.
Yeah. So I apologize for my ignorance, but it seems just bizarre to me that you would buy something and then not secure it such that now Darkwing Cheese Mouth owns this.
That's his name. They're in his wallet.
And Ethereum wallets, that's like a crypto thing, right?
Maybe. I don't know. But here's what I do know is Mr. Cheese talks to BuzzFeed News.
How does BuzzFeed know who Mr. Cheese is, but Seth Green doesn't?
Well, can I just... I'm guessing it's because at BuzzFeed News, they have some more elevated investigative skills and ways of...
Listen.
Of getting, people's to talk to them, because all Seth Green was doing was tweeting at Darkwing 84 and being like, hey, let's fix this. But Mr. Cheese said the following: I have no plans for the ape. As you can see, I've been collecting for a while. I bought it because I liked it. It wasn't a cheap buy either, and it was not marked as suspicious. So I bought it in good faith, meaning he bought it from the party that fished it from.
So weird.
I know, Seth Green. And now he's like, I'm not giving it up. I like that thing. Meanwhile, Seth Green is like, but my project, and that was mine, and I bought it, and then it got kind of taken from me. Now you own it. And this guy, Mr. Cheese, he's smart because he's like, dude, if you want to use it, then that's me money, not you money. He said, I bought it in good faith, but I'm happy to be in contact with Seth to talk about this. And I think what Mr. Cheese is probably going to do is I'll give you the ape if you give me the money.
He would have to, he paid for it and he thought he paid for it fair and square. I would just say I would avoid paying for things that you can't be sure are fair and square.
Exactly.
Such that the person who thought they were the rightful owner had it taken from them, unbeknownst to that person, and the person who did so thought it was fair and square. Something doesn't add up about that. And I don't know who to believe or who not to believe, or maybe that's just a flaw in the system. And if so, again, that would make me run away from that system. When people are like, oh, you got to get into these NFTs. Do I?
Oh, no, I would just share this story.
Yeah.
By the way, when was the last time that you saw some sort of cartoon picture and thought, I'm going to spend $48,000 on that?
Never. I don't have. Again, I feel like this is rich people problems.
Yeah. And I desperately want to know the actual identity of Mr. Cheese.
Also, why can't Seth?
But we know he stands alone.
Why can't we just have Seth create a new animated
this
figure?
Is what I don't understand. It's like, why can't he just call up, I don't know,
Walt Disney?
Yeah, and be like, hey, can I get one of your kind of not the best artists to just draw
or just have buy another NFT
for me? Yeah, but see, now I feel like don't, because you're burned. But why can't you just make a cartoon? Why can't you just draw
this
a picture?
Makes my head hurt.
My son makes non-digital NFTs for $20. He could have one.
He's been more successful than Seth Green. Despite ghosting Green's appeals on Twitter, Mr. Cheese claims they never checked their Darkwing 84 account. They've since requested the actor DM. Green now follows Mr. Cheese's Twitter handle, Dr. Wordy.
I know.
What?
I know.
Does any of that
And
mean?
Also, can I just get, like, what, can we give a prize, some sort of, like, actual journalism prize to Sarah Emerson for doing her best to try to make this all make sense?
Oh, I bet it makes total sense to her. Because I bet this is like her, like,
her beat.
Her beat. And she probably has written several stories and she probably hates having to sit down and explain it for the umpteenth time. But I'm sorry, that's just the world we live in.
It's so weird. Here's the other thing. Apparently, along with that NFT that Seth Green owned, it came with a license to commercially adapt the NFT.
Okay. That means you can change it to make money.
I guess. But that, apparently that certificate also went with the NFT. So now Mr. Cheese.
Mr. Cheese is going to turn that into green.
Well, that's the thing. Is
what
Mr.
if Mr. Cheese, is Seth Green?
Well, that wouldn't be shocking.
That's that. Now my
and
head
now
hurts.
We've all just been played to watch this dumb show. Because we're
this
so
is
invested.
How you know that you've been hanging out with Team Cobra too long. When you're able to find
because it turns out the conspiracy was in your mind the whole time.
Anyway, I don't know if we're ever going to get to see this thing.
Said you were going to shed no further light on this or like shed light in reverse. I think you achieved that.
You're welcome. I mean, I do
like a black hole. It just
I do my
we
best.
All got sucked in.
When I see the letters NFT together, I think I'm not going to understand this.
Well, you're now the correspondent. You're now the NFT correspondent for Team Cobra News.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah.
Am I honored?
I mean,
okay. Now I'll be your NFT person, but I can't promise that it will make sense ever to anybody.
Good.
All right.
Nor should it.
Good. When we return on the Colleen and Bradley show, have you ever heard of Will Smith?
I have, in fact.
But you haven't heard from Will Smith
a
whole lot.
No, it's been a while. Crickets.
And actually, somebody who wrote a commentary for Variety says, is that really the best strategy that Will Smith should be using right now? The strategy of silence? We'll discuss his thoughts on it and our own thoughts on it. Will Smith's silence, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing for his career? After this on My Talk 107.1.